couple of weeks ago or so, Ada had asked me if she could share her testimony sometime. And I told her, yeah, let me know when she was ready. And she told me a week or so ago that she thought she was ready. And, you know, we just believe that this testimony will minister to people that have been in similar situations and things, you know, and we're just believing that the Lord's going to minister mightily through whatever she shares today, because, you know, God's in control of it all. And we'll just have her come on up, and I'll give you a microphone, unless you've changed your mind. That happens sometimes.
Before we do that, I want to pray for you.
Father, let your anointing just rest on my sister here today as she shares her testimony. I ask you, Father, to just pour yourself through her. Let her be a vessel of you today. Let it bring glory and honor to you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I would tell you to stand behind there, but I don't think anybody'd see you. We need to get a box when we have shorter people come up and testify. So if you want to step up here, maybe about here, people can see you. And if that way, if they throw a tomato or anything at you, they might be able to hit you. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
I'd like to be behind it.
Would you like to be behind it? Okay. We need to get a something. Well, you can stand up there. Would you want to sit down?
No.
Can you see her? Okay, good.
They can see me.
Well, praise the Lord, you don't need this then. Just speak up right into that mic right there.
Okay.
They'll hear you.
Pull it down? This?
Just down closer to your mouth. There you go. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Etta, and I've been coming here, how long, Debbie? 6 months, or, yeah, 6 or 7 months ago. She told me all about you in here, and but I have it in my heart to give a testimony. As soon as somebody tells me what a testimony is, because I've heard three since I've been here. And when Debbie told hers, just a testimony of what happened to her, I was, nothing like that had ever happened to me, for somebody to come up and say, oh, would you pray for me? I thought I was a good Christian, but as I told Oscar, I more or less spit on God. And nobody was going to tell me how to live and what to do with my life. And I closed my childhood. No, not my childhood, my teens, when I was 13, after many, 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 many years, I closed that up, and I did not want to talk about it. I didn't want to say anything to anybody, because it was very bad. I did horrible, bad things when I was a teenager. The only good thing that happened out of it is I had my son, my oldest son. His name is Jim. And what a delight he was to me. And then I married. I didn't have the man that I was with was in the service. And I asked him, I says, can I go with you? And he says, oh, no, you stay here with your family. And that just destroyed me. Because why wouldn't he want me to go with him? And especially with our son. But I didn't go, and I stayed here. And then I married another man, which I thought was a gem. And all the time, God was with me. And he would say, no, no, no. Go this way. Go this way. I said, no. I'm not going to be bothered with anything. So I married him and had four children by him. But in that time, now I wasn't with God, didn't know him, didn't want to know him, but he was there. Oscar told me that he was with me. And he wasn't anything like they wrote in the paper about him. Oh, he was a wonderful man. What went on and on and on about how great his kids and everything. And I thought, this was not my husband. He broke my jaw. He beat me. If not every day, it was every other day. I took beatings for my children because he would say, I want this done, I want that done. And I would do it for him, knowing that if it didn't, that he would whip him. And so I did it for my children. I love my children. And time went on, and everybody says, why didn't you leave him? Why don't you just walk away from him? Well, I had five children, no place to go, and in the 60s, there was no choice for a woman but to stay with her husband, because they didn't have the things back then that they do now. So I put up with it. One day, I was so mad that I said, I'm going to kill him. And we have a hallway. We had a hallway in our home. It was long. And I took an iron skillet. I said, I'll just beat him to death anyway. But by the time I got to the door, I said, I can't do that. That wouldn't be right. So we got a divorce, finally. And he said to me, I hope you don't think you're going to get a lot of money out of me for these kids. And I told him whatever he thought his children was worth, that's what I'll take. He says, I don't believe they're worth more than $25 a week. I said, then $25 is what I'll take. He was an evil, evil man. But Oscar and Jim and Rick back there, they've been so good to me, and they've helped me. And my Sunday school class prayed for me, and they prayed for me again today. I says, God, I must really be bad, because they're praying for me all the time. So, but I've come from where I was to where I am now. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I haven't forgiven him. He's dead now. And I said, thank you, God. Why didn't you do it earlier? But, you know, I'm still not a Christian yet. I'm still doing it my way. I just couldn't give it up. So the next thing, I went to prison. And that's what you do when you break the law. And I went to prison for 16 years, what they gave me. Four-year sentences. And I lost my children. Two of them went here, and my oldest two was on their own. And so I went to prison in Florida. But when I was being sentenced, they take you in another room, and that's when they, you know, tell what's happened. My children, I took my children with me. And they said, what'd you bring your kids here for? And I says, I brought them to know right from wrong. And when you do something wrong, this is what happens to you. And so he said, well, I was thinking about your sentence. He said, I'm going to reduce it. I said, that's okay. That's good for you. It's good for me. But I went to prison. And prison's not like you see it on television or wherever. You have to fight your way in it in order to get out of it. And I did. Took a lot of punches and gave a lot of punches. And so they kept reducing my sentence. And then one day I got discharged. And I didn't do that much time, a year and a half maybe. And I still didn't know who Jesus was. But you have a feeling in you. I don't know what it was, but I figured it had to be somebody that you couldn't see because they were sure protecting me while I was in there. So, and I'll tell you this. You hear people say, oh, the worst time is when they, at night. No, it's not. It's when there's a little button on the wall that turns the light off. That time and that time only do you know you're in prison. The lights go off. But I made it through. I got my discharge papers. And I going home. Well, I couldn't because they put you on parole. So I had to spend another year in Florida. And I did good. I got through it. But the thing of it is, I didn't know then, but I know now. God's with you. And he's always with you. So I came home to my children, and there was nothing with my family. They supported me the whole time. When I was in, my father died. And this is how they told me. Got a phone call from Cincinnati today. Your dad's dead. Died. And that's it. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean it that way. I'm sorry that your father is dead. Died. Died, they said. And I wanted to go home. Well, they don't give you that privilege all the time to go home. But I did. There was three girls ahead of me that was asking for a furlough to go home to their family for a death. And they were turned down. They lived in Florida. I lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my social worker said, you'll never get it. Now, God may not have been in my life the way I took him in, but he had to do something. There was three people ahead of me that was turned down, that lived in Florida, and I wanted to go to Ohio. And they gave me 3 days to do that. And so I walked out of the prison like, you know, I was a free person. My son picked me up. We were going to go to the airport. I didn't have a guard. I didn't have any kind of, I had a paper saying that I was going to Cincinnati and everything. But when I got on the road, I was free. I could have gone anywhere in the United States. They'd have never known. But I came to Cincinnati, and I got to see my daddy. And my husband, ex-husband, was there. And I asked him what he was doing there. I said, I don't want you here. Just quietly leave. And that was the first time that I ever spoke to him that way. I was so mad that he would even think he would be welcome to see my daddy. So I told him, just pick your coat and leave. And he did. Well, on the way back, got on the plane, in the air, and it was raining. Horrid rain in Florida. We got lost, had to be back at a certain time. We got lost, the rain, we got stuck, the rain, everything. So I said, well, I better call the prison. So I called them, and I said, this is Etta, and I'm supposed to be back at 8 o'clock. And it was 10 o'clock then, and I says, I'm going to be late. I don't know where we are, and the rain is really bad. He says, don't worry about it. You know, get here when you get here. Now, so I didn't think anything of it, and we did finally get there. It was about 12. Now, they go through your suitcase and everything when you come in. No, it was 12 o'clock. They didn't want to fool with it. Just go to your dorm. So I said, okay. I could have smuggled in. That would make them girls very, very happy. But I didn't. I was a good girl. But the reason why I told you this, and the times of beating that I went through, and I cannot forgive him. He's dead. My ex-husband is dead. Died. And I felt nothing. I said it didn't happen soon enough for me. But, and I've been carrying that around. Well, I'm 80 now, so that's been over half of my life. Oscar, Jim, Rick. I can only say thank you for what you've done for me in this church. Debbie, for bringing me. She said it in seniors. He says, anybody want to come to my church? I said, oh, I will. You know, I was forgave anything. But when I walked in that door, I felt something. I don't know what it was. And I told Oscar many times that I never heard preaching like I have with him, with the words that he said. And I guess he got, because every time I'd see him in the hall, I'd say, I really love to hear you preach when you get up there. And you know something? I think it's a power of God, because you really feel good up here. I might come up again. So, but anyway, another thing, I got the most beautiful, beautiful letter from Jesus. And it was about my grandson who committed suicide. He hung himself. And I got a letter from him in Sunday school. It had beautiful words. Don't ask me to say them because my mind is somewhere else. But it said, Jesus, at the end of it. And that's the kind of people that I needed in my life at that time. All those many, many years. I went to church with my sister, but I never heard preaching until I heard Oscar, Jim, and Rick in Sunday school. Never. Never did I hear the words that they spoke. And I said, this is where I want to be forever. It's people that can accept you for what you were are, it's really a great feeling inside. And Rick keeps telling me what a testimony I could give if I released what I hold inside me. I never remarried after I was married to Rusty. I said I was always afraid that I would kill them if they said one thing wrong, you know. So I never married again. And now I live with two of the greatest kids in the world, my sons, my oldest son and my youngest son. They never married. Well, my youngest son did, but he got a divorce. Jim never married. He married the church. And I get it from him quite often, every day. And so I just want to, I had to clear this out of me. And to say thank you to you people and to you, to my Sunday school, and especially Deb, for bringing me here. So I'll end now and turn it over to you. And
very good. How about you?
Thank you.
Are you this because I'm old?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. That was a wonderful testimony. And you know, the thing that I as I listened to it, that I heard the most is that God was working mightily all the way through it. Even when you said you didn't know him, he knew you. And you know, probably next week I'm going to share a message with you about that he knows you. That was the title to my sermon today, if I had I spoke it. She just pretty much confirmed it all the way down the line. And you know what? It was just wonderful how we don't realize sometimes the inner workings of how the Holy Spirit has been in our life from the very beginning, even as a little child. And yes, we go through a lot of things sometimes that we don't understand. But you know, it all things work together for good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And I tell you what, that means all things. The things that you think was bad and the things that are good. But really, we need to quit trying to distinguish what's bad and what's good, because it's all good in God if we just trust him. If you all stand, we'll go ahead and close. You know, I just think that was a tremendous testimony. I so appreciate her giving it. And, you know, it's not easy to get up here and do that when you haven't done something like that before. You know, and I thought the Lord really helped her tremendously. And you might find that God opens up other opportunities for you to share your testimony, even at some of those senior meetings or whatever. And you know, oh, you don't know. You don't know. Well, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that truly you do have our best interest at heart, and that you are with us even before we think we know you. You know us. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for even how you were working with even with Etta as she went along, Lord. You got that sentence reduced. You let her get a furlough to go to her father's funeral, even when others were turned down that were even should have probably gotten it above her. And you know what, Lord? You were just showing her, whether she realized it at that time or not,
that you were with her and that you loved her and that you had her best interest at heart. And Father, I just thank you, and I just ask you to continue to bless her and continue to just release anything in her that's binding her up, Lord, even as we prayed for her back there today, Lord. I just believe by your Holy Spirit, as we prayed for her, I felt anointing, and I think you're going to break all yokes in her and just give her a tremendous testimony so that people will want to hear her testimony, because the presence of the Lord will be glowing out of her in such a great way. Thank you for what you're going to do here. Thank you for that word. Thank you that it's going to go out through the internet, and that people will understand that no matter what situation they're in, Lord, you're right there with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. And God bless you all, and go and have a wonderful day today. Thank you.